осені жовте листя з дерева падало, і то бабині йшло солодкі сни, а кохання моє розквітало, а кохання моє, а кохання моє, а кохання моє розквітало.
Kvitka Sisek opening our program today with Kochania, and a very apropos title. In English, it's called Autumn Love.
Vítejo vás všich, dorohí radiosluchači, na radioperedaču Náš holos Radio Krínskoho Koríňa, pomeraží PCJ Radio. Jaká podiesť vám anglickú mluvujú, jak zvyčajno z Británskoj Kolumbii v Kanadi. S vami Pelvina Macquarie, ďakujú, že rýšle prebúte si mnoju na stupnú hodinu.
Hello there and welcome to Náš holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. Whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, or shortwave radio, on your mobile phone, streaming, time-shifting via podcast, however you found us, a very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We've got a great program lined up for you. On this week's edition of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, we have a profile on the founder of Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, who makes this series possible. As well, we have an interview with Anne Applebaum, prepared by Ukraine Today News Service. We'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, a bit of a throwback to the 1980s or thereabouts. So this is a duo no longer together, but they still occasionally, I think, get together and perform. They are called Darika and Slavko. Here they are with a song called Na tramvajni zupinci, at the trolley stop.
Я хлопець несміливий, дівчат я сторонюсь, і навіть розмовляти з ними я боюсь. Такий характер в мене, нещастя немале, мовчу, бо всі говорять, але
на трамвайній зупинці
я зустрів дівчат чудове.
Почалася розмова
за словечком слова,
і про все ми забули.
Чого ж то все ми з нею стоїмо і чекаєм?
Не знала, що кохання, мо бур'я весняна, так раптом і неждано прийде одного дня. Пора вже розставатись, мов вже додому час. Пробачте, як вас звати, а вас на трамвайній зупинці я зустрів дівча чудове. Почалася розмова за словечком слова, і про все ми забули, іде трамвай за трамваєм. Та чого ж то все ми з нею стоїмо і чекаєм? Не замовка.
Хотів я від любови тікати, поки час. Даю вам чесне слово, аж тут якраз
на трамвайній зупинці я зустрів дівча чудове. Почалася розмова за словечком слова, і про все ми забули, іде трамвай за трамваєм. Та чого ж то все
Лицу голова болить, пішла вже я похмеліла, сміли не велить.
Ой, лобо, папа, та не горе, не біда, може, горе, не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, лобо, папа, та не горе, не біда, може, горе, не біда, моя доля отака.
Поїхав мій милий у далекий степ, а я долю поділіцу об земельку гріб.
Ой, лобо, папа,
поваляйся, а я пойду на весілля прогуляйся.
Ой, го-го, папа, зараз горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, го-го, папа, зараз горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака.
Неділя, воскресний день, а я п'яна, понеділок на похмілля пролежала. Напряла, у середу три клубочки намотала.
Ой, лобо, папа, та не горе, не біда,
йому показала.
А він побачив, буде лісу, та й заплакав.
Ой, ой, ой!
Моя мила, не нудися, прийде весь на святе літо, приберися.
Hey!
Ой, Богу, папа, там горе не біда, море, горе не біда, моя доля така. Ой, Богу, папа, там горе не біда, море, горе не біда, моя доля така.
Та по-русски славне зілля лопошочу, та пошиєм тобі, мила, партошочу.
Гуляра!
Всі та й попові,
та й об'їли фартушу, щоб лопохови.
Ой, горе!
Ой, Богу, папа, та ми горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля така. Ой, Богу, папа, та ми горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля така.
Пішла, міленька моя, слободою,
дай прикрила свої литки лопа.
And that's another group that I found online on YouTube. They are from Ukraine. They're called Rozhenitsya. And I was having trouble translating that, the title of this song. So I looked in every dictionary I had and tried to make sense of the lyrics. And I just couldn't get it. So I thought I'd go straight to the source. Well, not quite to the source, as I wasn't able to contact the musicians themselves, but our good friend Viktor Sergeyev in Ukraine very kindly translated it. He loves to do that, and that's why we've got Viktor's vignettes from time to time on our show. And he loves to translate into English, so he helped me out with that. And he did tell me it was a silly song, a joke, and which I got on my own when he did confirm that. And so he translated the title, which the title is Oy Prialab Yakud Yalitsu, and that translates as I'd knit a yarn, but I have a headache. And the reason for that headache was due to a little bit too much partying, a little too much imbibing. But nonetheless, it is a very jolly tune. And how many songs do we know that have silly lyrics? So just another one of those enjoyable moments in Ukrainian tradition. Again, that was Rozhenitsya with Oy Prialab Yakud Yalitsu.
Я музику дуже люблю, на музику піду, як музика та й заграє, забуду я біду. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Як я тую музиченьку, зачую, зачую, болить мене голованька, вдома не ночую. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна.
Збитки.
Ой, дай Дунай.
And that was Slew High from Winnipeg. And that song comes to us courtesy a 3-CD compilation put out by the Shevchenko Foundation in honor of their 50th anniversary. And this CD is not for sale, but it is available to donors who make contributions to the Shevchenko Foundation, which supports the Ukrainian-Canadian community in its goals to preserve, promote, and celebrate Ukrainian culture among the Ukrainian community as well as the rest of Canada.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Since Ukraine's Euromaidan revolution some 18 months ago, there's been a wave of new nationalism and patriotism in the country. But what exactly does this mean and what sort of connotations does it have? Well, I'm pleased to say here on Ukraine Today, we have Anne Applebaum. She is an author, historian and journalist and an expert on this topic. And she joins us here at America House here in Kiev. Anne, thank you very much for joining us. So firstly, I wanted to ask you about the main features of Ukrainian nationalism. Now, first of all, a lot of people think of Stepan Bandera or more recently the Azov Battalion. But people forget about the first two decades of the 20th century where you had this liberal movement after the First World War. So why do you think there is still this misunderstanding in Ukraine about what nationalism really is?
Well, historically, nationalism was often associated with liberal democracy. Nationalism in the 19th century was inclusive. It was intended to include people in a national narrative, and it was actually as opposed to aristocracy or as opposed to more traditional ways of ruling societies. And the Ukrainian nationalist movement, as it was called in the late 19th century and the first half of the 20th century, 20 years of the 20th century, really belonged to that tradition. And it, you know, there were many different facets of it, and it was a very chaotic moment in Tsarist and European history. So it's, you know, one has to be careful about making generalizations. But certainly the government which briefly ruled Ukraine between 1917 and 1919, in at least one of its versions, it aspired to be a democratic, liberal nationalist government. The history of Ukraine after that, through the 20s and 30s, really was the history of how that movement was destroyed, physically destroyed. Its leaders were repressed. Many of them were jailed or shot. The peasants who had been part of that movement were also targeted during the famine. And so the repression of nationalism was really part of the Sovietization process in Ukraine. The revivals of some kind of Ukrainian national movement or independent movement after that happened in periods of violence or extreme.
And this was Bandera era, I guess.
The war was a moment of extreme ideologies of all kind and extreme reactions.
It was very kind of authoritarian, I guess. Would you describe it like that? Or
I don't think that it's even fair to give it that kind of term because it was a military movement. He was a military leader attempting to make make a good, he never ruled a country. So, giving him political attributes doesn't really make sense. But since before the war, there really hasn't been until 1990, there was no outlet for any kind of normal or what the Soviet Union called bourgeois nationalism, a kind of liberal nationalism or democratic nationalism to form. And so when it began again in 1990-91, it was really starting from scratch. I mean, there was nobody who remembered alive who remembered the earlier experience. There was no, as there was no evidence of it, it was very easy to slander, it was very easy to undermine, and even the aspiration towards it was was very easy to attack.
And these historical perspectives, are they still important in Ukraine nowadays? So, for example, after the First World War, Ukraine was split into four. So do you think that that's still relevant today? Do you think there's still different ideas of nationalism across the country from the West to the East?
You know, history still matters here as it does in everywhere else, and people have particular family memories and so on. I'm not sure, though, that Ukraine's history is actually any more complex than that of any other European country.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about Germany, Germany wasn't united until the late 19th century.
It still had very
different components to it. Italy, same, has, you know, those are very different piece parts of Italy. You know, southern Italy and northern Italy have very different conceptions of the state and of what the Italian nation means.
Mm-hmm.
Poland until the Second World War was a very divided country, very unevenly governed. It was put together after having been divided into three after 1918. So, you know, there are a lot of other European countries that knit together different cultures. Belgium, you know, is two cultures. Canada is two cultures.
Yeah.
So it's quite common, in fact, in European history.
And now we're living in a more globalized world. So do you think that's important? For example, if you live in Donetsk, in Lugansk, in the east of Ukraine, you're not far from the Russian border, and there's not really like this fence that separates the two countries. I mean, is that important?
Well, there never was.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
There was no fence between Germany and France, and the border moved back and forth for centuries.
So
there was no fence between Poland
important?
And Germany. You know, it's the same thing. You know, that's a common experience in Europe. And actually, the sort of joint decision that Europeans made after the Second World War to stop fighting over borders. And the creation of the EU and to some extent of NATO as well, the intention of that was to make sure that there weren't these national conflicts over borders anymore. And of course, Ukraine wasn't part of that.
But. Yeah, and that brings me on to my next topic, because you have this nationalism which can cross borders, but you have patriotism, which is different. And both terms often get confused. So, you know, from your research, your extensive research, you know, what are the differences between patriotism and nationalism?
Well, you know, it depends on who's using the word and what the context is. I mean, I as I said in my lecture here in Kiev, I would like to recapture the word nationalism and give it the old meaning and the meaning which
the positive
was
meaning.
The positive meaning, which was closer to the word that we now call patriotism. I mean, in order to have a democracy, you need some kind of patriotism, or whether you want to call it nationalism, or whether you want to call it, you know, national identity or something else.
Yeah.
You need people to feel some responsibility for and link to the state in which they live.
Mm.
And, you know, if they don't have that, then why would they participate in elections or participate in public life?
Because it's the love of one's country, I guess.
The love of one's country, one's, you know, space, the desire to make the place one lives better, the desire for all the people who live in it, and not just for you and your family or your clan or your tribe, but to have it, you know, this is what we, sometimes people make a distinction between ethnic nationalism and civic nationalism. Civic nationalism meaning something more like state-based patriotism, and ethnic nationalism meaning something narrower. But, you know, there are many shades in between. I mean, I think the point is, you know, to feel connected to and feel responsibility for the place in which you live is incredibly important. And actually, I don't think you can have any kind of democracy or any kind of liberal society without it.
And where should this nationalism or this idea come from? Is it more from civil society, like we've seen during the Euromaidan, or should it be more from the government now? Should they be promoting it?
It can come from both. I mean, I think historically it has come from both in different countries. In France, it was often top down.
Yeah.
You know, in the US, it was often bottom up. But the government can certainly help encourage, you know, a kind of good form of civic patriotism.
Have you seen this from your travels around Ukraine and the people that you've spoken to? Have you seen this sort of national identity grow, since the
Euromaidan? I think it's still quite weak.
Yeah?
I should say from the government side.
Yes,
I think among people, I think it's grown quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, the Russian invasion has made people very aware that, you know, they want to live in a country with different values from those of Russia. You know, whether or not they feel, you know, their cousins are Russian and their grandmother's probably Russian and so on, but they, you know, they're associating their patriotism with a kind of state. You know, we're not the kind of state that does this kind of invasion, and we would like to resist that. And so that has given people a sense of of identity with Ukraine, some people anyway.
Yeah. Now, I know you're short on time, but just have a very few quick questions. So we have mainland Ukraine that's government controlled, but also we have this idea of Novorossiya, which came about after the invasion of Crimea in March last year. What sort of identity does Novorossiya have for the people in Donbass? Like, is there an identity?
Novorossiya has failed as an idea. Novorossiya was a Putinist idea. Yeah. It was the idea of creating a sort of new.
But was it imperialist kind of based? Or?
No, it's an old. It goes back to the creation of Transnistria or the idea of an independent Abkhazia. You know, Putin had this idea that he could create a new state out of Russian-speaking. Eastern Ukraine. Novorossiya is a failure. I mean, it didn't succeed. They didn't get anybody to buy into it. They didn't find any enthusiasm for it. I mean, I think Putin believed his own propaganda and that he believed that Eastern Ukrainians who spoke Russian were Russians. And it turned out that they're not, or they didn't want to identify with the kind of Russia he was presenting them. So Novorossiya is now a project that has failed. I mean, it's not happening. You know, the idea of it was, if you've seen the maps, that it was going to go all the way to the sea, and it was going to be a lot larger than what it is. And what they have now is a piece of Donetsk and Luhansk, which is they've managed to defend militarily, but there's no enthusiasm for it in the.
So any
here.
Change of opinion there is just through the Kremlin's information war.
No, basically the Kremlin decided, you know, a few weeks ago to stop fighting there, and so the fighting there has stopped, and that's what's happened. For the moment, they seem to have given up on the Novorossiya project.
And now, from your experiences in Ukraine, what sort of changes have you seen since Euromaidan? For example, have you been to Eastern Ukraine? Have you heard the views from Kharkiv?
I haven't been to Eastern Ukraine. I've been back and forth to Kiev a number of times, and I've been to Lviv and some other places. But to me the most striking changes are between now and 10 years ago. I mean, Ukraine really feels like a much different. There's clearly been a generational change in terms of people's attitude towards the world and the way they talk and deal with each other.
Do you think this will continue in the future as well?
I think it continues inevitably, yes. Yeah. I mean, no matter what the next government is going to be. But I mean, there is clearly a kind of general, there's been a generational change. People have different kinds of relations with each other. People speak differently and act differently than they used to. So it's changing very rapidly. I mean, that was true of Poland in the 1990s and 2000s as well, when I lived there. So.
Yeah. Okay, Anne, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was Anne Applebaum. She is an author, journalist, and historian. And she's been speaking to us about nationalism and patriotism in Ukraine.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv.
Oh,
from Toronto, Ontario, that was a group called Dunai, which is the Ukrainian word for Danube, as in river. And that was a song that was written by a Canadian of Ukrainian background. The lyrics and music were written by Ron Cahoot, and that was performed by Dunai of Toronto, Ontario. Coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Jedala with a medley of Ukrainian folk songs.
Чорні очка, як терен, чорні очка, як терен, як терен, як терен, колишмося, поберем, поберем. Чорні очка, як терен, як терен, колишмося, поберем, поберем. Чорні очка, чорні, ой, як терен. Кину кужіль на полицю, сама піду на вулицю. Кину кужіль на полицю, сама піду на вулицю. Нехай миші кужіть трублять, нехай мене хлопці люблять. Нехай миші кужіть трублять, нехай мене хлопці люблять. Ой, хлопчуки, чуки-чуки, гарні в мене черевики. Це мені панотець купив, щоб гарний чоловік полюбив. А бачок і пані матка дала, щоб я гарна молодичка була. Через сад виноград, ой, да через сад виноград. Через сад виноград по воду ходила, за собою молодого писаря водила.
Ой, кум до куми залиця. Конопельки обіцявся.
Він сіяв, присівав, присіваючи казав, ти кума, ти душа,
ти кругом кума,
от і хороша, от і хороша,
куменька душа.
Ой, продала дівчина курку, та купила козакові люльку. Люльку за курку купила, вона його вірно любила. Люльку за курку купила, вона його вірно любила. Ою поліг криниченька, там холодна водиченька. Ою поліг криниченька, там холодна водиченька. Ой, там Роман
поліг пасе.
На воду неси, Маруся, раз, два, три калина, чорна моя дівчина, саду яблуки рвала. Маруся, раз, два, три калина, чорна моя дівчина, саду яблуки рвала. Мама, 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 Маруся, раз, два, три, чорна моя дівчина, раз, два, три, в саду яблуки рвала. Чорня, моя дівчина, раз, два, три, в саду ягоди рвала.
В саду ягоди рвала, їхав-їхав.
Поза містом під копитом камін тріснув. Та раз, два, під копитом камін тріснув. Та раз. Щоб додому довіз і привіз нас знову. На коня, на кожну вікнову. Щоб додому довіз і привіз нас знову. Щоб додому довіз і привіз нас знову.
Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. James Timmerty is a distinguished Canadian entrepreneur, civic leader, philanthropist, and founder of the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter. This edition of Nash Holos would like to introduce to our listeners Timmerty's remarkable life path and philanthropic work. Timmerty is well regarded and respected for his vision, initiative, and leadership. He has over the years received many honors for his achievements. Most recently, on August 24, 2015, he was honored with Ukraine's Order of Yaroslav the Wise. The order is the highest honor Ukraine can confer on a foreigner who has not been a head of state. The order was bestowed on Timmerty by a decree issued by Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and will be awarded in person later this year. Timmerty was born in the Donbas region of Ukraine during the Second World War. His parents were refugees who left their home in a caravan with 12 other families and over the course of a year traveled across war-torn Ukraine. After the war, his family lived in Belgium for 3 years before coming to Canada and settling in Montreal. Timmerty's entrepreneurial talents appeared early in life. His first venture was creating the University Student Business Association. The initiative brought Dick Clark's American Bandstand to a thrilled audience in Montreal and eventually employed 40 students through the summer. Timmerty held various marketing and management positions with IBM in Canada and the United States. After 15 years, he returned to his entrepreneurial roots. He built a single franchise into the world's largest privately held chain of Computerland stores. Timmerty is well known today as the founder and board chairman of Northland Power, a publicly listed company. Northland is Canada's first independent power producer and a Canadian icon for clean and green energy sources. Founded in 1987, Northland Power operates biomass, natural gas, wind, and solar power projects in Ontario, Quebec, and Saskatchewan. Wind, solar, and water power ventures are currently under development, and the company is building approximately 1,000 megawatts of offshore wind power in the Netherlands and Germany. A man of boundless energy and compassion, Timmerty devotes much of his time and fortune to philanthropic causes in Canada and Ukraine. He is also deeply involved in Ukrainian-Canadian community life. Timmerty is a member of the Governing Council of Toronto's Sunnybrook Hospital. From 2002 to 2009, he was the chairman of the Royal Ontario Museum Board of Governors. He is founding chairman of the National Advisory Council of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress. He recently donated more than $1 million to the Canadian Museum of Human Rights toward the development of an exhibit on the Holodomor, the famine genocide of 1932-33 in Ukraine. Timmerty is also the founder and sole benefactor of the Holodomor Research and Educational Consortium at the University of Alberta. The consortium's creation came from a deeply held belief that only by attracting and cultivating promising academics would world-renowned scholars in Ukrainian studies, including those devoted to the Holodomor, be created. Timmerty's dedication to Ukrainian studies has resulted in him becoming an important benefactor of the Ukrainian Catholic University in Lviv. It is one of Ukraine's leading educational institutions and the only Catholic university in the former Soviet Union. Timmerty recently made a major donation of $5 million for a state-of-the-art library named after Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky, who headed the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church from 1901 until his death in 1944. Sheptytsky, who Timmerty calls a giant, is credited with saving the lives of over 150 Jews during World War II. The generous library donation follows a $1.2 million gift Timmerty made to UCU to establish 3 departments for the study of Jewish-Ukrainian interfaith relations. He has supported similar initiatives at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. A trustee of a children's hospital in Kyiv, Timmerty was instrumental in launching the Kyiv Mohyla Business School, where he serves as chairman of its advisory council. Timmerty's generosity also allowed for the reestablishment of a Jewish studies program at Kyiv Mohyla Academy. The institute's tradition of Jewish studies dates back to the 17th century, but virtually ended during the Soviet period. Timmerty's achievements have earned him distinguished honors in recent years. In 2007, he was awarded the Shevchenko Medal by the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress. In 2008, he was appointed a member of the Order of Canada, the highest honor bestowed to Canadian citizens. In 2010, he was named Canadian Entrepreneur of the Year. In 2012, he was awarded the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal. Temerte was the first recipient of the Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky Medal in June of 2013. The award was established by the Jewish Confederation of Ukraine for contributions to the cause of Ukrainian-Jewish understanding and cooperation. Earlier this year, Temerte and his wife Louise received honorary doctorates from Canada's Ryerson Polytechnic University. And most notably for us, Temerte is the founder and chairman of the Ukrainian-Jewish Encounter, or UJE. This initiative was started to deepen the cross-cultural and interfaith relations between Ukrainians and Jews. The UJE strives to bring the two peoples together in understanding and empathy. This can be achieved through a deeper knowledge of each other's historical experience and narratives. To advance these goals, the UJE has convened a series of meetings and conferences engaging nearly 200 scholars and experts in Ukraine, Israel, and the Ukrainian and Jewish diasporas. The UJE also promotes dialogue in the media and through museum exhibits and book fairs. We trust our listeners have found this background to be informative. We look forward to alerting our listeners to forthcoming UJE activities. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-Macquarie, Pokadinsky, Pavlina. Until next time, shalom. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Winnipeg, that was The Female Beat from their CD Sealed with a Kiss and May Day Retreat, which you may recognize as Napoleon's Retreat. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму «Вже часто дома» і сказати «До побачення». Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Як хочеш щось мати, то в поті гола працюй і нікому нічого задармо не даруй. And our proverb of the week translates as «If you want to have something, work hard and give nothing away». Well, that brings us to the end of our program. So to take us home, Jaden Chernoboy from Steinbeck, Manitoba, and the Tattoo Polka. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nosh Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.